This is the Development Committee, Wednesday, December 6, 2023, 6:30 PM. All are here and counted for, so let's go to changes are on the agenda.
Well, I'm gonna bring one thing up. I do not see Michelle in the audience. I was hoping she was gonna show up to do at least the year-end. I give the mission statement a shot, but we got...
Do you have the... I can speak for some of the stuff at the library.
Okay.
But I do believe she is supposed to be here.
Okay, yeah. So depending on how that goes, year-end update, maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
Great, good. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
Okay, so approval of the minutes from September 6.
They look fine to me.
Yeah, I wasn't here, so perfect.
Good, okay. Sounds good. So what about public comment for items not listed on the agenda? Does anybody have any public comments for things that we're not already talking about tonight? I'm seeing none. So we'll move on to our Junction City sign discussion.
Alright. Okay, so before the committee this evening is to start the discussion of possibly looking into welcome Junction City sign. And different ideas, kick around some ideas on that. I included, I mean, everybody's seen some really cool signs throughout the state. I've included a handful. In the past, when this was at the Community Development Committee, Director Capping had got some prices at that time, but I didn't include those because they're multiple years old, so...
Yeah.
I didn't want to muddy the waters with some numbers that were very inadequate, so... but yeah, more or less, this is just a start the conversation. See where we want to go with it, and get different ideas of different things to include, and go from there. Basically looking for some direction from the committee on what they would like to see, if it's something similar to one of these, if it's something similar to something you've seen elsewhere, that you, I can get, you know, name a city that you've seen that you really like, I can get the picture of it and go from there. So, thoughts?
Well, members of our audience might have some suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
As well. I will say, I took, knowing this was on the agenda last month when we didn't have a meeting, I took it back to the festival board and said, hey, they're talking about this at the city level, would we like to make a suggestion or have some sort of input in what happens here? And the board said yes. So we formed a committee that met last week to talk about, you know, thoughts of what, since we currently own the signs that are standing still, you know, what thoughts do we have that might, you know, convey Junction City? And then also kind of play us towards the direction of the suggestions that Gary compiled back then. And so if it's okay with the rest of the committee, I'd like to invite Chris and Angelina to present over them.
Sure.
I'm Chris. I have the operations for the Scandinavian Festival. We did meet and we did have a joint session on what we would like it to look like. We did some development of a potential sign that kind of encapsulates all of what Junction City kind of is and what we're known for.
Mm-hmm.
And still maintaining the festival's kind of presence there. We really liked having some big, huge brickwork, kind of making our town stand strong. We also liked an older looking sign, but as you can see in this representation here, we have a writer at the bottom of that, which could be potentially an electronic writer able to be dismantled or changed out later without making the sign no longer usable.
Hmm.
Using the colors for our towns that we've always used, the blue tones was where we kind of were heading. We wanted to see the established date in that. And just a little bit of our heritage in there.
Yeah, certain person.
I'm painting.
Yeah, we sat and cranked out the ideas and had a rough draft drawing that Chris went home with and did this with it. And the idea of the rider, I'll add to that. We currently have one on the current sign that advertises the dates of the festival. And having it on here, and especially if it was electronic or easily changeable and manual, we could change that out for the festival, the function, high school homecoming, light parade, any sort of number of, you know, serve as a secondary, you know, community events board to supplement the one that's at Sixth and Ivy.
Yeah, obviously we would like to keep it festival related, but we're also, I mean, the rest of the events in the town are important. I graduated from here, so it's always going to be Go Tigers, you know, and the function for Junction has become a very big event, so we want other events to be able to also represent when they have something up. You know, the light parade is going to be on December 1st at 7 p.m. or the football team's going to state on Friday. You know, we want everybody to be able to, you know, have their event also posted on the signs, but it's not a cheesy big old electronic thing altogether.
We imagined that the sign wouldn't be made out of wood, so that would have the durability. We think maybe a cast product, with fiberglass reinforced plaster, so kind of very similar to what Eugene Monument Company does and produces, just so that we have that lasting effect. So it's hopefully a one-time investment for that would last at least 50 years.
Those are interesting ideas, and I really appreciate you bringing them to the committee. So it kind of brought up a few questions I have. Anybody else have some questions or comments they want to make? So where the signs are right now, so you guys made those signs, which I think have served great. Who owns the ground?
The Jason property owner does.
And so they volunteered safe, that to
correct.
The sign?
Safeway on the north end and Guarantee on the, okay. The nails. I'm not sure if it's Guarantee or...
Sure.
I think it's still Guarantee.
I think it's still the Nail family that owns it.
The Nail family owns. I'm not sure what the...
And is your thoughts at this point to use that same spot, or are we investigating using other spots potentially?
The idea was to use the same area. Uh-huh. That was the idea.
The thought that crossed my mind is now that Junction City starts a lot sooner, that potentially, and it actually starts sooner on both sides. Correct. The Tractor Supply Store. I mean, Safeway isn't the edge of town anymore.
Yeah.
And Guarantee isn't the edge of town anymore. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I wonder if we might be able to get some additional space to do something cooler. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it be something cool like this or even a broader vision.
Mm-hmm.
If we went further north and further south to where there's more land available that's not so commercially expensive at this point?
One hurdle that we will get into with that would be the ODOT right of way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's something that just knowing how they are to work with, mm-hmm. it's going to limit what we can do as far as size and readability. They aren't going to like something that, like, you know, homecoming, blah, 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 where you have to read it. You know what I mean? So that's one hurdle we will come into is working with ODOT in their right of way. And that is the reason that these signs, current signs, are actually on private property.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I was thinking too, even further north or south, if we could get some private property that's off the ODOT, but maybe get more. You know, because some of the towns I see around that I like have more, some of them have a statue, some of them have a little park, some of them have, so, and just where we're just starting the discussion and like we're just introducing it, I want to go ahead and like think big at least for a minute. But not at all anything, I love this sign and I love the festival, so not anything against this sign, but I don't want to immediately go to limiting ourselves to just those two locations. So that's some questions and thoughts I have.
That's kind of what, because I was on the committee when we did the sign thingy, and another thing that we talked about as far as elements in the sign was metal. I think Monroe has a really good example of that. It's really nice, and I think Gary was going to talk to Wade Skinner about it, to incorporate, you know, the metal in somebody that lives in Johnson City, works in Johnson City, and is a craftsman here. And then we talked about lights on it. I'm trying to think of it. It was a huge thing with Andy and I, and I think John's right. I think that probably going more where the boundaries are now for Junction City, farther down, we might be able to get some private property. You know, talk about that. But yeah, that's lots of stuff to think about. That's for sure.
Yeah,
that ODOT right of way thing would.
Yeah.
Be very important, especially if we were to consider an electronic rider for this, because
exactly.
We have to have power for that, and there's all sorts of other rules and hurdles and for that.
Yeah. Well, I said in one of the previous meetings, and I appreciated that, and kind of echoing what your advisor was saying, festivals are identical.
Yeah.
Right, and that's what the mayor said, and I think we all agree, it's us, right? That's what we do. So I'm really thrilled that volunteers got together and produced a suggestion and came to the committee to present it, because
that's really nice.
The heart of the community right there working with us.
Yeah, really nice.
Together, so great. It would be great if we could be a little farther north and a little farther south. I do think traditional is our city. I don't think an electronic billboard would really fit our. It's me. I'm just telling you where I was. For me, it's not really what I would want to see. Now, if I go to Las Vegas, then I want to see all the electronics. I want to see everything up in lights.
I do like the idea of it being lit, though.
I don't mean a light.
At some point, you're just having lights on it. The one that's safe, we can kind of see as long as the gas station is open, but the one at Guarantee After Dark, it's down
the
hole and you can see it.
Floodlights shining up.
I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. So.
And the other thing with ODOT, I think Jeremy kind of hit on it a little bit. You did, as far as a reader board on the sign, that as far as traffic going through, whether they're going to be able to stop or read it, and ODOT is really funny. They're hard to work with, and that could be something that they would object to. I don't know.
Yeah, that was also part of our community discussion too. Is earlier drafts of this have different elements of different stuff, and we kind of thought, it needs to be not so busy that you can't read it at 45 miles an hour.
There you go.
So that's why we landed on.
Yeah.
What do you mean by Monroe? I guess I can't think of Monroe. What kind of metal are you?
It's really nice, and I couldn't even tell you.
It's a wooden back sign, kind of like a live edge with a brushed stainless steel forefront with trees that kind of.
And the trees are like made of metal.
They are made of brush stainless.
I should zip out there. I'll take a picture.
It's really all the service organization plates. I was trying to remember where it's Monroe. I was driving my son up to the Evergreen Museum over the weekend. Like it's right there. Think of it.
And I drive by it every single day.
Yep.
It is at a great location, Monroe's sign is. It's right at a stop sign, so people have time to stop and look at it. And you can kind of catch a glimpse of it as you're going up 99, but you're coming off a territorial highway. It is clearly visible for quite a while.
It's a
neat. Interesting. Another idea that just crossed my mind is If we did get a different location, I'm not at all saying we shouldn't continue to have the signs where they're at. I'm a Moore guy, not a, so if we did go further north and south, it wouldn't, in my opinion, as long as Gary or the Neils and the people up north were fine, I'd want to keep both sides.
Right.
You know, not eliminate one and then, because can you really get too much reminders, you know?
No.
There was more room in the festival street last year, so I'm like, more people could have come.
Yeah.
So more signs than, I mean, as long as they're not tacky, like you're saying, I mean, I like things that look nice, but obviously the Scandinavian Festival has had a beautiful sign for years, and those groups have let you do it there, which is great.
Yeah.
So, okay. I mean, I don't have anything more to say about this right now, but what about other people?
No, I think it's great that we're moving forward. And I don't think we're in a rush either, so that's...
No, not at all.
You can take our time. And,
I know we did talk about, in something like this, to be able to say, to have a sign thing that hangs, okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Function for Junction is such and such, or
right.
Tiger State Game, whatever.
Dates.
And the dates. Yeah. And make sure that that's visible big enough that you can hang it there and see what's going on. What's the biggest deal going on in town?
Yeah.
I'm not real big on the electronic thing either. No, I just...
They're just easy to, you know...
Easy to change.
Somebody doesn't have to go out there with a...
We as a group kind of liked the traditional hand-carved wooden type signs that every organization who has a reoccurring event would have their own sign. And they can go out and put it up or go through the city to put it up.
Well, we have the electronic reader here already, and it serves a great purpose. But I don't think we need to duplicate that. You know, it's already covering all the major...
Yeah. And again, like John said, well, whoever said about... having the resources to do anything electronic wherever we put it. I would think to have
the infrastructure.
We don't think, we can't do it because we can't hook up. So.
Well, what do we want to... How do we want to proceed? We want to direct staff to... So what about the examples in the packet? Does anybody have a comment about those that we want to mention at this point? Do we want to direct staff in any way? How do we want to proceed?
Well, strangely enough, I thought this kind of incorporated the things that I like the bricks, and I saw the bricks and these other signs, and the signs between it. So to me, it would look similar to this, only it was tailored to Junction City, which I think it kind of took the best of what we were and made it look.
That was, I speak with me, that's kind of the intent, was to take what had already been compiled and go, how can we make this ours?
Yeah.
You
know? And we all, as a group, like the brick a lot more than the metal posts.
Well,
you know, that.
Less
right. And right now, it's pressure treated wood holding the current signs up.
They've gone a lot longer than I think they were meant to go.
We're pretty much end of life on the sign at Safeway.
Yeah.
And the one I guarantee is about 15 years newer, but it's also showing its age.
Who made those signs?
Larry Buckles.
Yeah. You gotta kind of love that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes it really hard to get rid of them because.
Yeah.
And even if we end up not having them there long term, I think there's a lot of sentiment to want to find a place on festival grounds to put them.
Yeah.
At least the one that's still in one piece.
How do we direct staff is the question on the floor. I would make a recommendation that I know you have to like to play the pool, but it's on the contract. Maybe contact those planning owners, both north and south, and see if there's willingness to work with us on that to capitalize on what
you how far back.
You know, see what kind of cooperation there would be there and if there's any best defense there, because that would really guide
and beyond that, maybe look at updating what materials and labor would be to create them now that we're a little farther along and want to update stuff, see what materials are more affordable and what the budget would allow.
This is not something that currently staff or committee council has set a budget for, so. I think, to your point, the correct material could be the best material. Like if committee council likes brick, because brick's a couple thousand bucks more, doesn't mean we need to. Yeah, and long term and just more durable.
And then the reinforced plaster idea for constructing it, like Chris suggested, I think is a much longer lasting choice than the MDO that.
Yeah, I wonder if, I mean, where does the city start? Is it right where the sign is? It says welcome to Junction City?
On the south end, yes.
So it's right out there.
Just north of Medellin.
Yeah, so there's quite a stretch there.
Yeah.
And there's actually, I mean, people, you don't have to stop it very often. Because that's it, somebody made a good point about stopping. It is kind of nice if there's a natural slowdown or a natural stop right where the sign. So, I mean, maybe even at the corner of Highway 36 might be another spot we could explore a little bit, because there is a stop light there. It's not quite the edge of town, but, I mean, I don't know. I mean, but that's, it would be nice if people weren't just flying by every time. But the Garrity one right now is nice for that reason too.
Yeah.
And I guess I wouldn't totally eliminate, I mean, this is pretty stylish how they tied that in there. And if that was electronic and it didn't break the rule, like, and it's subtle enough, I'd be curious personally to know how much something like that adds to the thing.
I see a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the way whoever designed this, you know, that's very subtle. So, I mean, it's not as gaudy as some of the electronic stuff is, so maybe. Some people are doing solar panels now, so they don't even need infrastructure, so they just power their stuff with a solar panel. But, I mean, I personally don't want to eliminate that off the table yet. I'd be interested to see where that goes.
Okay. I think, if I'm understanding correctly, I'll look into locations. Couple different options on locations. I'll go for a drive tomorrow. And then start looking into, maybe what I'll do is I'll take it. It sounds like maybe the pillars, brick is probably a stone or a brick is kind of the consensus. So what I'll do is I'll start looking into just rough pricing on that.
Even stone.
Our design incorporated stack stone. In our thought process, we figured to try to keep costs down. They have it's a man-made stack stone product, and we would do, if I were to do it as a contractor, I would build a cinder block square, and then I would applique the stack stone man-made structure, and it does last quite a long time.
Well, nice work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's
great. Thank you so much.
We have to get off to another meeting.
That's another festival meeting.
See you guys at that one too.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
Are you ready for me? Mission statement?
I'm Michelle.
Hi. I am Laura Brown, and I am on the board for the public library, the amazing public library. So what I'm giving you right now is the current mission statement for the library, which, as you can see, is a little long. Do you have one?
I do. Yes.
And what I am going to share with y'all is what the library board has been working on is updating the mission statement and our values. We recognize that as leaders in the community that the library isn't just about reading and books. And so when we presented the new mission statement, we wanted to really emphasize the fact that we're strengthening communities. If you're involved in the library, if you're a member, if you ever attend, we have everything from trick-or-treating to learning about Medicare and variety of different opportunities for learning. So we're serving the community, not just the membership, but people who live and dwell in Junction City and outside of Junction City. We like to inspire learning and we want to spark imagination. And so that's why we really tried to condense the mission statement. I work in the nonprofit world, and so what we hope when you are creating a mission statement is something that if I were in an elevator with you and I were talking about the library, I would be able to recite it. What we currently have is from 1998, not really as relevant as all of the offerings that the library has today. So our hope is that we could have the new mission statement approved, as well as the values. And you might notice that the values, it's IDEA, so idea. And we would end up having this on the webpage. And the next portion after y'all approve this, the next portion, Michelle will talk about all of the accomplishments that the library has had this year, and you can really see it. I mean, I brought my daughter, who is phoned in on my phone right now, which is very good. But she loves story time, and in the summertime, there's so many different programs. She's gonna grow up in the library because of the Junction City Library, and she's why I'm serving on the library board, because I believe in what the library does. Yeah, is that you?
Yeah, mommy.
Whoa. I know how hard you guys worked on that.
We talked a lot about it.
Yes.
Lots of wordsmithing.
Yep.
I'm anti-Oxford comma. Michelle is pro, so. There was an Oxford comma in there.
So you guys have already, as a board, you've already worked through your revisions, and this is what you have all agreed.
Correct.
To.
So we worked through the revisions, and we approved the mission statement, I want to say in March, in the spring, I feel like, and then about a year ago, we went through the vision and values, so the idea portion of it, and at this point, our hope is that it's been approved by the board, but we need to have it approved by y'all before we actually move forward with it. Another fun thing to talk about is I work for Oregon Community Credit Union, and we have a few Spanish-speaking individuals that work at OCCU, and our hope is that eventually, as we work through this vision statement, that we can have some volunteers from OCCU translate it from English to Spanish so that we can have a lot of that inclusion and diversity, which is one of the pieces that we say is a value that we have, and eventually also do the same for policies.
I think it's great.
Thank you.
Work really hard.
Thank you. Thank you for your support of the library.
I thought you did a great job. And I see it needs to go to council, right? So I think it's ready to go. I mean, it looks good to me.
Looks good to me. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Nope.
Okay.
Well, thank you for your work. Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Next.
For those who don't know me, I am Michelle Schneider, and I am the library coordinator. And I was finishing up our, this is actually the first annual report that we've actually done. I don't believe the library has done one before. A little bit cut off at the top, I do apologize for that, but hopefully you'll look at the substance more than the layout.
Thank you. We will. Yep, substance matters.
And so this is a snippet of what we do. There's quite a bit more. I am trying to keep it brief so that we're not like, you know, you can read more. But as you go through the annual report, you're able to see readily the finer points. Numbers jump out. During COVID, of course, a lot of libraries were hit hard because obviously, as well as businesses, you couldn't go out. Our library actually only closed 3 months during all of COVID, and we kept serving the community. So from that, It's been a steady progression to rebuild our patron. Because during COVID, a lot of people began to do streaming and digital needs, which then changed a little bit of the direction of current libraries. Not that we have in any manner dropped our print materials, because that is, we have people who will not do digital. They are hard and fast, true, you know, print book. They enjoy the book in their hand. It's just that we've had to pivot a little bit more to adjust to the way that people are now internalizing how society has changed. So we are expanding our resources and our technology, and we have I have done a lot to kind of bring us from Mayberry a little bit in the libraries to a little bit more techno savvy, so that we can provide access in a better outreach capacity for the patrons that are now coming in. We have steadily grown in our physical collection. We are due for a weeding. That is something that is on my radar. But you can see that over 15,000 books and audiobooks and DVDs are still loaned out. So it is still a very used collection. The access that patrons have to our digital collection, we have an app called Libby, which gives them almost, you know, 100,000 items that they can select from, whether it's an ebook or audiobook. If they have a smartphone, a tablet, a Kindle, they can download it multiple sources, they can share with a family, they can stream it, or they can, you know, if they're going to the coast or something and there's no bandwidth. So, and library visits continue to grow. It is good to see that, you know, our library visits are at least more than the population of the town. So that's a good sign. The active card users, I wanted to point out, so 835, we have been accruing more each year since COVID, but please know that they're also family cards. So you you know the families here in Junction City, that it's not just necessarily one person. You may have five people in that family. And so each person is getting, we have patrons who their kids are immense readers, and they are going up to our maximum of 40 books. And so they check that out at a time. And it's wonderful to see, you know, all the youth kind of get back into, you know, engrossing themselves in a book instead of, you know, a screen. So we offer other resources besides Libby. We have a library app for your phone where you can search our library catalog. You could do your own renewals. You can see your account information. You can even use your library, you can use your phone as your library card. So you don't even have to bring that little plastic card anymore. You can just bring your cell phone and you're good to go. News Bank. A lot of people have not been so excited to carry the register guard anymore, or financially. We carry it in the library in print, but we also do it electronically. So now everybody can be at home and they can search the register guard. They can do the Oregonian. It's actually, we have access to 3,700 newspapers across the country, including USA Today, which is a prime one, the Denver Post, the Sacramento Bee, Miami Herald. We don't have the New York Times or the Washington Post because they are very, they have their own subscription service. But I mean, there's always something to read within 3,700 out there. We also have databases that are available for education and business that people can research. With legitimate sources. That's a problem with a lot of schools, that the kids are just going to Google and not really finding something that is actually real. You know, it's fake news out there. So this is a good resource for them. This year we did get brand new computers for our patrons. So we are brand new and up to date. We have 7 new patron computers. They are well used, as you can see, over 1,222 patrons or instances of patrons. Sometimes it's the same patron coming in and using the computers, which is awesome. We want that resource and that tool for them. We also have cultural passes. A lot of families, it's kind of expensive to go to the museum. So we have passes that they can come in and they can check out for a week. They can take their family and then they bring it back. And we also have wilderness passes. During the summer, it's free during the winter. But they can camp up to 12 days and they can bring a party of 10. So you can go group camping. It's a wonderful resource that we get from the National Forest. And you can see, so on the following page, a lot of what we do requires a little bit more funding than we're able to get. So I have tried to describe out the funding sources that I have worked to get for the library. The first one is pretty large. It's $91,000. I helped co-write a grant that helped. We're part of a consortium, so we are all the Lane libraries. It's called basically it's 8 other libraries in Lane County except Eugene does not play nice with anybody else. They're in their own little world. But Cottage Grove, Crestwell, Oak Ridge, the one that's in Veneta, called Fern Ridge, Mapleton, and even Florence. So through that, people can check out a book at those libraries with the Junction City card, as well as we can do interlibrary loans and bring the books closer to home. So that, we're a little library, but we have such huge potential to get people the books that they really want, or the materials, the DVDs, the audiobooks. So the consortium grant that we applied through, it's a state grant, is to get equity between the libraries, because part of us is Springfield. They're a very large library. They have a lot of staff. They have a lot of extra funds. They're able, you know, to get on par for what their patrons need a little bit better than maybe our library has been able to service in the past. So this grant is to help, not necessarily, you know, equity is not necessarily still equal among all the libraries, because you're still going to have bigger libraries and smaller libraries, but it is bringing you to a point where your patrons can at least have the same resources as the bigger libraries. And that is the point that we are, you know, want to get to. And part of that was updating our user library catalog. That is now, I updated that. That's now modernized. We had some weirdness with our computer database that I've been working through to get, you know, information and that updated. So what happens is that it reflects back out to the patrons, because they're able to find things more easily. They're able to access, and that's what we're all about. We want people to get and know what we have available for them. So, and then the next few grants, there's the Ready to Read grant, and I apply for that every year. That is our summer reading grant, as well as project-based. Primarily, it is, they have 2 components. One is summer reading, another one is for early literacy. There is, since 2019, a decrease in reading level statewide, and unfortunately, COVID didn't help. So a lot of early readers are having difficulty, and so these funds help that we can create collections and we can create programs to help the early readers. The program that I used money for in 2022, you can see it on the back, it's Reading Adventure Backpacks. And so our library is a wealth of books, but I wanted a multi-sensory activity pack for children. And so these backpacks have activities and games that are educational so that it's a multi-level learning experience. So it might have a nature scavenger hunt in the bat, you know, in the cards, and the child goes out. There's also maybe a book about the trees or the leaves. And so as they use the cards, they can find out more about the trees. And then there's craft books where they picked up the leaves. Now they can learn how to make a craft with that. So you're giving them an experience. It's not just a one and done, maybe with a book. Sure, that may stay with them their, you know, lifetime, but at the same time, you've given them something maybe the whole family then got to enjoy. Mm-hmm. So that is some of the funding I use from Ready to Read, as well as buy free books for the summer reading program to give out to children. Education Together Foundation is a local foundation, and they support JC greatly, and they're a great supporter for our summer reading program as well. The Pilcrow Foundation was a grant I just recently applied for in conjunction with the Friends group, who is they're a nonprofit entity, so the funding kind of goes through them. And so that is a grant that they give. They're actually local in Cottage Grove, and they give funding to rural libraries. And it's a 2-to-1 match. My friends group will help pay into the fund. They will also match with, you know, money. There's also a secondary foundation, Chambers Foundation, and one of the Native American tribes will also give books within that as well. So we will enhance our collection from Native American background. And so that is great, because that will give us maybe another 70 hardback books for the library for children, which is phenomenal, because just like everything else, the price of books has jumped incredibly. You wouldn't think it, but a picture book goes anywhere from $18 to $22 now. And this is a book of maybe 30 to 40 pages. But it's a good quality, and we want it to last a long time. So that grant is wonderful, that it will continue that that wealth of that we have for our collections. I wanted to mention too that we also have Wi-Fi that we provide for the community. It is on 24 hours. So anybody, we have people who sit out on the bench and they play Pokemon, because apparently the water tower is a big gaming center. So they're all day, and I'm like, who's winning? And they'll, you know, stream, and there's a lot of people when the library's closed. So it's an excellent resource for them. We have many partnerships that we work with so that we can accomplish our goals of serving the needs of our community. I'm the only full-time employee, and then I have a part-timer who's 10 hours a week. And sometimes you cannot be everywhere every moment, and you want to reach, you know, if I am doing a program and, you know, I'm working with the Oregon State Literacy Association. Like I did two Halloweens ago. They have something called the Bear Fair, where they basically bring books, and it's free books yet again. We're always about the free books. And then they brought crafts where the kids could make a craft based upon the book. And it was a very educational, fun, you know, kids didn't quite know it, but it's educational and fun Halloween. So we also had a tarantula and spider educator. We also had her again this year. We cleaned up. We had 160 people for trick-or-treating at the library. We're like, yeah. So, but we also work with local businesses. So for over a year and a half, we have partnered with Max Porter's down the block to do story time there one Friday a month. And so we have been continuously doing that. It's a benefit for them because obviously, it brings in more people to their business, and then it's a benefit for us because now we're attracting maybe a different crowd who maybe didn't come to the library before. So partnerships are wonderful. We also worked with 4-H through Lane County Extension offices to do our craft story, and we do crafts, but then they also learn about 4-H. So, give a little, get a little, and it serves well. Capacity, like I said, we're small staff, but we have wonderful volunteers. Some of this is it's 22 and 23 because some of it's fiscal year and we all know how that works. Volunteers are awesome, and some of my best volunteers are stolen by the schools. I have gone through and I have a current grouping probably about 30 volunteers between our library board, which Laura is graciously on, as well as our friends group, who is a fundraising and programming group, and then our just basic volunteers who help within the library and our events. And they have graciously given us, close to 1,400 hours of their time. And that is immense, especially if you were to monetize that, So we greatly appreciate them and hope they stay with us for a long time. The following page goes over a lot of things that attract people to, especially since we're a community library, is programs and outreach and things that we do to bring the community together. It's not an isolated event necessarily when you come to the libraries. A lot of people like the socialization, they want to learn something. So we provide a lot of stimulation in that. You can see under our programming, we have a variety. I do my best to try and serve the different age groups. We are a little bit more towards, children in programming, and that is just because if you have a teen, you know how it's hard. So our teen grove is a little bit, they're focused just on different things, sports and gaming and different. So it tends to need just a little bit of different planning to work with them, whereas the kids and the families are group that we enjoy because they're coming no matter what. And our senior set are awesome, and they come and they voraciously read everything we have at the library too. So we want to make sure that we have programs for everybody. And so we have Medicare. We have coming up this week, we have also through the Extension Services, we have the Master Preserver food program. So they're going to come in and learn about canning and preserving and food safety. We thought, and gifts, how to make gifts about, out of what you've made. And so there's a lot of interest in that. So it's not always something that's dry. We want to have the fun stuff too. We also have an author series, and we try and find local authors, especially if they're in JC. We've had a lot come from Eugene. And bringing that diversity of genre that, introduce people to different ideas that they might not have come across before. We have story times, of course, in the library as well as outside the library. We have our, in summers, we try to do the teen book club. We just did a fraud and scams. We had someone from the state come in who is with the adult abuse agency or whatnot, come, and we had a big group for that, come and learn about how to keep themselves safe. And a lot of it is just digital awareness. Don't click on this, don't take that phone call. And so it's great that, we feel that we're helping, which is our mandate. We want to do that. And then, fun stuff for the kids, trick-or-treating, craft a story. So there's quite a bit. You can see our programs go fairly well. That people may not register for a program here, and I found that very difficult to get people to do, but they will come out in force. When we started doing our Max Porter story time over there, our first one, we had 45 people. 45 people to story time. And it's there, if you've been there, there's that little back room and we're all crammed in. And I didn't put the picture where there's people sitting on the outside of the room all trying to like hear. Unfortunately, we will be stopping as of January 1st, the Max Porter story time. It has become a little bit difficult to for staffing wise for us to be off site. We used to have a dedicated storyteller. She was actually the Monroe librarian and she loves story time, but her schedule changed. So we are actually replacing it. We're gonna do Lego Club, yay! And let me tell you, there are a lot of kids wanting to do Lego Club, and all it takes is maybe three big families to just take over the whole library. And so we're like, well, we'll see how this goes. You know, between all the other things, but, you know, with summer reading and everything, to have over 700 attendees for our programs is pretty great. If you add up everything, we're probably looking about, I think it was 1246, 1,246 attendees in a year to our programs. So rock on, JC, you're doing well. And so the back just kind of mentioned a little bit about our summer program. And so that is, you know, as well as us working with the schools. I work directly with the art teacher over at Euclea, and she brought over during the summer an amazing art exhibit that we hung from the rafters, so to say, of 6th through 8th graders, and their art is phenomenal. And so she'll probably bring some more over for end of December through January and whatnot. And it's great. It's great to showcase local talent. And then the high school, we work with them. They have an English class that is the intro to teaching class. And so they built us a story walk, which is basically breaking down a book and the family can walk along and read it together. And so that's phenomenal. I really like working with the schools. And speaking of the schools, because the community center is going to be under construction next year, it will force us to be elsewhere. And so we're in talks with the superintendent of schools to hopefully use Laurel during summer, which can be an advantage, or it's always going to be an advantage, but it's also a challenge because, as we know, 99 and the railroad provide a barrier for children to walk independently and come across the street to have anything over here. So there is the potential, since we're over in the school area and there's all the apartment buildings and the wonderful Hispanic community that may not know, you know, kind of about us as much, that they will then be, you know, these programs will be accessible to them over at Laurel. Better parking, better, you know, area for space. But at the same time, it's going to be interesting trying to run two buildings at the same time, trying to fund a growth yet again. So when I first started coming out of COVID, the summer reading program had 30 children registered for the summer reading program. Not a lot. In my first year, I got it up to 90. Second year, 120. This year, we maintained it and we were about 115. So tripling what we had was phenomenal, but I am kind of capped at where I can be financially. And I'm not here, you know, asking for money, but I'm just saying that there is a limitation, you know, on what we can provide, just even staffing and financial. I do want to provide for everybody as much as I can. So it's a challenge, but it's a good challenge. So yes, but you can also see too, the growth in reading, which is phenomenal, because so I do mine at levels where kids read 10 books and they get a book and a prize. 15 books, they get a book and a prize. 20 books, and they the first year they got a swim pass. It was very exciting. And a book, always a book at every level. Keep them reading. And so that year that, so last year, 52% read at least 20 books or more, which is phenomenal for summer when you're competing against the pool. This year, we had 5 less kids, but you know what? 60% of those kids actually read more than 25 books. So they're reading more, and that's phenomenal to me because I am very happy that somewhere we're rubbing off or that they're like enjoying reading again. So that is something that I'm very excited about. So that is the library in a nutshell. Trying to give, you know, a little update because I know we've been a little quiet in the past. So I just wanted to bring you forward. JC is a wonderful community and we want to support them and we want to change in the way that they're needing us to change. So, thank you.
Yay. Wow. I'm so glad you're here, Michelle. So glad you're here. Yeah,
this is
awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, it says,
wow, you know, a lot going on.
And there's a lot, you know, I'm sitting over there trying to finish the report before I'm coming over here because, you know, I can describe things, but it's always a great to have a visual. And so thank you for your patience with me.
Can I ask you a couple questions?
Yeah.
And maybe other people have questions.
Definitely.
Too, but thank you very much for all this information. So it made me really curious about a few things. So like the cultural pass, how often do people check that out?
Not as much as I hope. I advertise it on our, we have the guide, the community guide. I advertise it in there. We also have the flyers in the library. I post a picture up when people come to check out. We mention it to people every time they come in. I think people are sometimes, they don't know their schedule. And so they're like, that sounds great. And then they forget by the next week. And so I wish more people would use it. We would explore more passes. There are more, basically, like my friend's group could buy a pass to a different museum or place. That
How many passes do you have?
We have 2. And the wonderful thing about the Museum of Natural and Cultural History is they gave it to us for free.
Yeah.
They do that for all the Lane County Libraries, so it doesn't cost us anything.
And what about how many wilderness passes do you have?
So that one is regulated by the Forest Service. And they only allow 1 pass, and that is basically, yeah, they have rules, sure. And I put it, but basically they can check it out like once a month so that it gets, you know, the problem that we had this year was for around the Deschutes area, and Deschutes was on fire. So that is the trouble of that one. But after October 15th, the area is open for free anyways. This is just pretty much summer, but it's a great benefit because you're not paying camp fees.
Right. On the third page here, when it says public computer sessions for 12/22, is that for the year?
Yeah, so I do my state report. We have, literally, there are 1,000 questions. I'm not kidding, there are 1,000 questions for the state report for the libraries. It's crazy. So, but it follows our same fiscal year. Yeah. So that 12/22 is for fiscal year 22 to 23. I didn't have enough time to calculate in the half month or half in the year that's left on 23.
And the Wi-Fi sessions is the same thing. That's an annual number. So 481 times somebody logged into your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so the Wi-Fi is what we can see around us within the library. Sometimes somebody hides in the back and they're reading, you know, on their phone, and we don't always capture. The way that our Wi-Fi works, there are more expensive. I've talked to Jacob, who's our IT person, about this. If we ever go to replace the Wi-Fi one, we can buy one that will count. the people who use the system. Right now it doesn't do it, so we do it based upon physical sight.
Oh. Just for anyone that you know about.
Yeah, that we physically count every, yeah, we have a little clicker. Yeah, as soon as you come in the door, you get clicked, and then you get written down if you're on Wi-Fi, and I did buy new privacy software for the new computers this year, so thankfully we don't have to count patrons anymore on the computers, because the software does that.
Yeah. So just three more quick questions.
Yeah.
I'm curious about all this. So you have about 30 volunteers at this point, and how often do they volunteer?
So our lovely board, we meet once a month.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much from 6 to 8 p.m.
Yeah.
The friends group, they meet, I think, about 5 times a year, and it depends upon if they have a, like there's 5 people on their friends board. They need to, they're in the midst of revamping themselves. It's kind of aged out. So we've got a few new people, so we're hoping for good things. And that is based upon if there's programming that they want to do or fundraising, like a book sale. So I had weeded some, a large portion of the books from the library, plus we asked for the community to donate books. And the friends group raised, I think, about $850, which is pretty good. It's not just a bake sale. That, you know, that helps, because essentially that money comes back to support the library, and they ask us, what do we need? And then I have daily volunteers who come in 2-hour time slots, or 2-hour time slots once a week. And then I have people who come in project-based. I have ones who just come in to work on the shelves, and so they come for an hour, you know, every other week. It's basically, I try not to do restrictions too much on my volunteers, because it is volunteer. They're, you know, I want to be a place that they want to come and have fun and socialize and enjoy, you know, the space that they're in. And so I work with them. There's a lot of people who cry when they leave because they get a new job or they go back to school or whatnot. I had last year, I had actually for a year and a half, I had two teen girls, women, from the high school, and they started when they were 17, and they would come. One came twice a week, and another one came every other week, and they stayed with me for a year and a half. And then one has now started, she graduated and is at Lynn Benton, and the other one is still volunteering for me. She comes in once a month. So just because they're teens does not mean they're totally like out and gone after, you know, volunteering, which is wonderful. I don't take anyone younger than 16. It is just too difficult to kind of babysit someone else's child.
And how long have you been in libraries?
So my background, I actually started off as an archaeologist, and I worked in, I traveled around the world being that, and then I moved into museums. I worked for the National Park Service for about 15 years as an archivist, moved to the National Archives and worked there for about just under 2 years, and then made the monumental move. I quit my job and sold my house and traveled the western U.S. for 3 months with my 2 dogs, and we came to Oregon and didn't know where I wanted to live, and I lived in a variety of spots, and then I settled in Corvallis, and I worked at the OSU's Valley Library up there, and I was in their circulation for a year and a half. Loved to work as a fundraising manager and event planner, and then COVID hit, and it was a nonprofit, and I got laid off. And I was like, no! Yeah. And so then I, you know, not right away in COVID, but later during COVID, the job at Junction City came open. And so I've been there about 2 years, 9 months almost. So, yeah.
And she's a go-getter, I'll tell you.
Thank you for this information.
So, if anybody else has any questions, I'm happy to answer. Okay, I know I get long and rambly, so I apologize if I took too much time.
Together, I would just be lost.
Okay, good. Well, thank you, and like Laura said, we are working on our other policies. Some of them are way ancient from, 79, you know, or 80s. So we're, working to adjust those to be modernized. And so, you know, one of the questions we had was, when we bring them to you for your review as well, do you want us to wait on doing, well, obviously, if you have changes, but we're looking at factoring in translating as well. So that was kind of a question we had, is does the committee, once we, you know, if we have someone translated into Spanish, do you then need to send it out to re-review the Spanish?
Yes.
Okay, so just to give you a heads up, so yeah, whether it's the high school teacher or somebody to like re-review it in Spanish, so because there's a whole committee at OCC.
Two individuals.
Okay, mm-hmm. So yes.
Okay.
We want to make an effort to kind of, you know,
sure. We will not be reviewing the Spanish.
Yeah. Neither will I. I took German and Italian, but nobody here cares about that. So good, good. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle. That's
okay.
Why it's really important to have a website.
Yeah.
Because so much of this, nobody knows. Nobody has any
I'm
idea.
I'm a firm believer that if libraries were invented today, people would be like, what is this hot commodity?
Exactly.
And it would just be over the moon. But people don't realize you can learn Spanish at the library.
Exactly.
You can do so many things.
I just watched this interview with he's the director of the Boston Public Library, and they were interviewing on that very same question. Would, if libraries were created today, do you think people would fund them? And it would, kind of the question came down is, I think people would be in shock to have the idea that you could just go in somewhere, get something free, and not have to like return it for 4 weeks, and then you know, and then some of the libraries are fine free now, so even if you're not, you know, you're not returning in the 4 weeks, you're still not penalized. We can't afford it quite here yet. Every penny counts. One day. But yes, that would be an interesting.
Yeah. There are libraries that have tools and telescopes and all kinds of things. We'll be there one day.
Well, we need a little more space.
That's true. Yes, that's true.
All righty. Well, good. Thank you very much. Is there any other business tonight?
Hi, Mommy.
I don't think so.
Just real quick, I wanted to give a super quick update on the Giving Tree across the community center. The, I think I made these numbers right. I have to check with Shelly to get the all this right. We had 105 tags this year, 12 more than last year, and there's only one left out of today.
Oh, good deal.
So that's good.
Awesome.
And that giveaway will be December 17th. So
that's great.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Great program.
Thank you, Jeremy, for that update.
And that's it for business, I think.
Okay. Anything on the forecast or review today? Any comments from the committee on things that are coming down the chute or Jeremy? I'm sorry,
no.
Superintendent.
I guess more just kind of some heads up that next meeting, I hope to have some information for you all to look at on retiling the pool surround.
Yeah,
so expect that. And Jeff Just another heads up, Jeff Kern might be joining us to talk about EJC a little bit.
Cool.
And some of his hurdles. So,
yes. Always good to hear from him.
And then I guess on the agenda forecaster, I guess maybe just a little bit of housekeeping. On page on future business, okay, right here on page 5, council assigned goals, we have discuss adding water park and discuss adding kiddie pool. Do we want to combine that into one topic in a different name, or yeah, just call it water park, or call it
water works,
attraction, water attractions.
Yeah, right? Water. Yeah, or just even pool upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
I don't know. Yeah, that's really what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just going through this. I was like, why do we have two topics?
Yeah, okay. Really
okay. We don't, so probably thought of it different times and
probably
got assigned different numbers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's call that pool upgrade. And that's it for me for
good
agenda.
Okay, but thank you. Every little bit helps. Committee member comments tonight, Mr. Peterson?
Sure. Dovetailing off the water attraction consolidation, I'm speaking to some swim team parents and others in the community. I've heard a lot of desire to pursue the possibility of being able to cover the pool, at least for the colder months, to extend its usable life during the year. When my wife was swimming for the high school, they fundraised extensively in order to have the pool heated during the winter so they could practice there and hold meets and stuff like that. And currently, the high school has to rent pool time in Eugene in order to practice. And so, being able to stay at home to train and do stuff would save a lot of time, wear and tear on businesses and stuff like that. And it's something that this particular parent felt that the school might be willing to partner with a little bit, because they're already sending funds to Echo Hollow to rent their pool. And if that could stay at home and be beneficial to the community at large, he feels that would be.
Yeah, I've talked to Superintendent Stoops and I've talked multiple times about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a couple different meetings on it, and we've given them, you know, what the cost would be to heat the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still kicking that around a little bit. And,
okay.
I was hoping to have something put together for this swim season.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously that.
So,
because I remember talking about it.
Yep.
All right. So I can tell this parent that it's being discussed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has been.
The spouse of this parent is on the school board, so mm-hmm. she may also know about
it. Yep.
About
yep.
A little bit
it's,
too.
We've had a couple different meetings about it, and we've given them the cost of heating and chemicals. And,
mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Which I don't know what they pay to go to Echo Hall, but I would imagine it would be substantially cheaper just to stay here.
Yeah. You would think. I know.
It's, you know, yes, heating the pool is fairly expensive.
I know. Jessica cleaned Autzen Stadium a lot.
Yeah.
To fundraise for it.
So did her dad.
Yes, so did her dad. That's very true. So, that and just my other comment or just thing is, I know a while back, some folks came and talked about the desire to have a performing arts center
mm-hmm.
in town of some sort. And I don't see that anywhere on the forecast, any further discussion. So I'm kind of wondering, do we need more information from them on how things would be financed or owned or things like that? Or has the issue just kind of been dropped at the staff level?
That would be something I'd have to have direction from them to, or maybe council to add to the agenda forecaster.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Jason talked to them, mm-hmm. they came to a meeting.
Yes.
Yep. And I think it was something that was put on hold.
Mm-hmm.
Were you here, Kim?
I was. I think it was my first meeting.
Probably,
you,
yeah.
And I was listening, but I don't remember any direction being assigned.
No, I think
I remember
it was
a presentation, and I thought, oh, that's great. And it really sounds great.
Yeah.
And it kind of just, I think it just kind of fell there.
Yeah.
Weren't we providing the property? Was that part of
it? There was
a lot more to it than,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Than originally thought.
Yeah.
So,
but,
yeah.
Current but, time, I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah.
Where what city property would be able to use now.
Exactly. That was
in the future. I have some ideas,
and I think that's kind of where it was left.
Yeah, but I don't.
Do we have a prioritized list? I know we have this forecaster, but it doesn't really prioritize where we're going, right? So we have a water park, and I'm sure we don't have a timeline on that yet. But
I was hoping to for this meeting, but they hadn't got back to me in time.
No, I mean, no, as far as priority. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, this is our top priority that we're working on as a committee, and this is second, this is third. Yeah. So that as these questions come up, mm-hmm. You know, we have some idea of where we stand on our own list of topics that we know that this is the hottest item that we're working on.
The other one was the SDCs, remember? Mm-hmm. Talking about that, getting that kind of.
Yep, and working with the engineers right now to get. They're putting together prices on that, and my plan is to bring that to y'all with their prices, and from there we'll decide if we want to go for RFP, if we want to use them.
Okay.
Being we have the engineering contract, we don't technically have to go out for the RFP, but is that the best route?
Yeah.
You know, until I get those numbers and we look at that together,
sure.
We don't know yet.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
So.
Good.
I think we could just put together just a short timeline on the various projects you're working on. You know, you started, you've begun, where you are, just nothing complicated, but each one of these, so that we can see initiated on and or, you know, still pending.
Correct. Yeah. I can definitely do that. I can actually.
Yeah, and I think it would be along that same lines. I think it's helpful if the committee take some time in a meeting to prioritize our own, you know, the forecaster, and kind of give staff
go through the darn thing
that direction and say these are the things on here that are most important to us too.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But maybe we could do that in January at the meeting, or even February. Then we could kind of lay out the year maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But if we did it in February, we'd still have 10 more meetings that we could potentially tackle.
Well, that's right. And then we'd have, I think, a better idea of what we're going to accomplish in that year, too.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's nice to have an end date, or projected end date.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yep.
Okay.
And we can also tell whether or not, you know, we're maxed out on what we can ask for the year.
Right.
A water park, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And this involves a ton of your time, and you've got all these other things going on too. And so, you know, I just want to make sure that you're doing justice to your
schedule. I'm not afraid to delegate. Don't worry.
No, I understand, but you know, it's I don't want to be a landslide.
Yeah, right.
You know, so.
All right.
So maybe what we'll just on the agenda call that agenda forecaster. Well, we just leave it as update or goals. Just kind of.
Yeah.
At that point, we'll just kind of work that over a little bit.
Sure, we'll prioritize next meeting. Is that what we're saying, or January?
I think that'd be good to do it sometime early in the year.
Yeah, I think
exactly.
That's
right. Yep.
I think
start
that's
out
a
right.
real good idea. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
Then, okay. Well, good. So, Jeff, you got us going on a lot of topics there. Anything else?
I don't think anything new. I was just thumbing through this and the. To have discussions begin with the school district on resuming the maintenance at Washburn Park now that school's begun.
He hasn't come back, apparently.
No.
Stoops has not come back on it.
No, that was something that actually I personally have not talked to Superintendent Stoops about. That was Jason was working on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just fell apart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that, you know, I have no problem restarting that if
It just kind of, it's been sitting out here since July of 2021.
Yeah. It's been a while.
It's like, what are we doing here? Is this going to sit and fester or what?
Yeah, I agree. That's one of my issues with the forecast. It's only 2 years old on items there, and they're still sitting.
And there's a handful on here that...
Yeah.
I guess this would be the committee to discuss them, but like, say, Ophelia's Place contract. I guess it would come here.
If it was time to renew or something.
Right, so. Here,
but yeah, maybe we should, at that meeting next month, we should, I mean, if we're not going to do anything with them, we can also kick them off our podcast.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not saying we should or we shouldn't. Item by item, though, we could, as a committee, say, hey, I know that was here at some point in this committee, but we're not doing anything with it, so.
Yeah.
And what I can do is, some of these was back when it was community.
Right, it was both.
Community services, just community services.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I can talk to the staff leads, you know, it was either Jason or Gary, depending on which committee, and see where they were at on those.
Yeah.
And you see if we need to pick up from there,
mm-hmm.
or not,
or table.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and if it's tabled, then it kind of sits on the thing. But if it's just kicked off completely,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Because I think sometimes we table them and then they stay on the forecaster and then nobody ever. But
yeah.
Right.
But if we actually eliminate them, then they're not sitting there and we could fill it in with things that we actually were going to do something with this year.
Eliminate them or reassign them to a more appropriate committee.
Right, because if, I mean, I'm not saying we don't have to kick them off, but right. I agree with Ken, we shouldn't just have them sit there indefinitely.
Nope.
So, yeah, well, so that'd be good.
Yep.
I believe that is all my comments for now.
Councilor Lee?
No, I'm just really glad to see Michelle here. Yeah. I've been after that for a long time. Always the library's been the unsung hero. Nobody knows what the library does. Nobody, and it's like, I'm really happy to see her here. I would love, of course, she loves to talk. So you'd have to set aside a special time for the cats. okay, that's enough. But she's got a ton of information. She's working really hard, and I really appreciate her. I think everybody else should hear what she does.
Well, that was good then that you got her into the committee here. That's great. Because I didn't know all that was going on there, so I'm glad that she did.
Yeah.
And she had plenty of time at the committee level, and maybe that's a good place to have that report done.
Yeah,
it is.
Because
there is more time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do appreciate also Chris and Jelena coming and presenting the sign idea.
Yeah.
Appreciate the committee having them listening.
Yeah, yes, that's great. That's what it's all about.
Any comments tonight, Counselor?
No, I just enjoyed the community input and seeing folks show up, and I feel like we're working together. You know, to solve problems, Jeremy, always appreciate you.
Yes.
And I'm actually looking forward then to the January meeting, because I think prioritizing our issues helps not only us, but you as well.
But you,
this is
for
what
crying
we
out loud.
To be. That is clear direction.
Yep.
Well, it's been so screwy. Jason was here. Gary was here.
Right.
Then you were here. And it's now.
Yeah, having a plan and a direction, I think, will be good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. 2024, then. That's our year, guys.
Right.
Wow. Yes.
Okay.
A lot going on.
Thanks, everybody, for another year in the books. Good work.
Thank you.
And have a very Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Right.
So we'll adjourn.
That's right.
Thank you. Yeah, good job.
Gosh.
That might be our record for a committee meeting.
That's a long time.
That's the longest we've had here in a long time.